Right, I believe we've got another call in with a bad impression. It's Amy, Ian and Simon in Colchester. Who do you do, guys?
Hi, this is Simon. I'm going to do Martin Chuzzlewit.
Okay, give it a go quickly, please.
Tom Pinch, you are indeed an honourable man. I'm going to America to seek my fortune.
Thank you very much.
That's too good, in fact. I'm
Mary,
sorry.
I love
that was
you.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Philip Bourne's still here. How do you play this badminton game?
Well, I'll show you. It's on this tape, which I shall play to you now.
Great.
How to play badminton, sponsored by Panda Pops and Ginster's Pies.
Go to your sports hall in your ordinary clothes with a note from your mum saying you are too ill to play proper outdoor games.
Here you are.
Dear Mr. Thomas, Simon can't play proper games today as he has a bad chest. Signed, my mum. It's fine, Simon.
You will then be asked to select some kit from the Lost Property bin liner.
I'll have the white shorts with the dubious brown stains, the one grey trainer, and the young girls all in one swimming costume, please.
The object of the game of badminton is to see how many times you and your friend can knock the shuttlecock over the net without it hitting the floor.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh.
You idiot. You keep hitting it when I can't get it. Sorry. You're useless, you are.
The game ends when the proper men who've been playing outside come in and spoil it.
Get it!
Badminton!
We like rugby!
We play rugby!
The winner is the player who manages to get changed back into his proper clothes without having to have a shower.
Remember, if the sports centre manager catches you not showering, you are disqualified from badminton for life.
Mr. Harrison, have you been in the shower? Your hair's dry as a bone. Look, get in there.
However, if you just wet your hair under the tap, that'll usually trick them.
After you have played badminton, remember to enjoy a Panda Pop and a Ginster's Pie. Panda Lemonade and Ginster's Cheese and Onion Pasty are just two of the enormous choice for any badminton player.
That's great, Philip. That's given us a lot of insight into badminton. One worry about badminton, though, is like, it's not a sport where there are celebrities in it. There's no personalities,
nothing
either.
Exciting.
Well, we do have a very exciting mystery figure in badminton folklore.
Who's that?
In the shape of the masked badminton player.
Oh, yeah.
No one knows who he is. He enters the court, plays badminton, and leaves just as mysteriously. And some say he is a god.
Well, who else? I mean, that's not enough. I mean, no one's going to like Kendo Nagasaki.
We have a sort of figurehead in the shape of Jonah Barrington, and we've devised a promotional catchphrase, which is Jonah Barrington plays badminton.
I'd like to pick you up on this, but wasn't he a squash player, Jonah Barrington? Not
I think he was.
Not badminton.
It's a long time ago as well.
He plays badminton.
I think it was squash.
But anyway, it's pronounced badminton, isn't it? Again, badminton.
No, it's badminton.
No, it is badminton, because badminton's the way a child would say it.
Yeah.
No, I am the chairman of the National Council for Badminton. I think I would know how badminton is said.
No, look in this dictionary. It's badminton.
Oh, we've done all the posters.
Anyway, never mind. This is The Jam with their excellent track, Eton Rifles.
Pop fact. Bruce Foxton came within minutes of being blown up in the Guildford bomb. When he heard of his miraculous escape, his hair stood on end with fear and had remained in the same state to this day.
Pop fact. Bruce Foxton's debut solo single, Freak, reached number 22 in the hit parade in 1983 and told of the taunting Bruce received because of his freakish hair.
Sup up your beer and collect your bags. There's a row going on. Down this hill, get out your men and pray to the west. I'll get out mine and pray for myself. Thought you were smart when you took them on, but you didn't take a peep in their artillery room. All that rugby puts hairs on your chest. What chance have you got to get a tie and a crest? Lit the fuse, tore down the House of Commons in your brand new shoes. Composed a revolutionary symphony that went to bed with a charm in your feet.
Paul Weller second group, the Style Council, was rubbish.
Fact, the Jam were formed in 1975 by Rick, Bruce and Paul, who set up a lunch hour club at their school, Eton, to talk about, taste and celebrate the condiment jam. But they also discovered a shared interest in fast music which copied the Beatles, used swearing and showed disdain for office workers. Later, they pretended they hated jam. They didn't, though. They liked it.
We were no match for their untamed wit, but some of the lads said they'd be back next week.
After the Jam split, Paul Weller formed the Excellent Paul Weller Movement and made £1 million. Bruce Foxton marketed the Bruce Foxton Ridiculous Comedy Wig and made £1 million. And Rick Buckler drummed for Time UK, with a career highlight of a gig at the Kings of Wessex School in Cheddar, arranged by Rick's art teacher brother, Grumpy Mr. Buckler, where Rick performed in front of nearly 25 excited Somerset school children. Birthdays between 12 o'clock and 12:15 on any day, except January the 27th, are ketamites. Ketamites enjoy picnics and documentaries about unusual jobs. Destiny sees an elderly woman with a checkered blouse eating a melon with your face on it. TV's newsreader Edward Sturton is a ketamite.
Certainly is. So new star signs there.
Yeah, and of course it's Interview with a Vampire week this week on Lee and Herring. And I've just heard over from Hollywood in a direct line that the sequel to Interview with a Vampire has been so successful in the rushes that they've rushed out a second sequel, a third film.
Have they really?
And this one is called Rejection Letter of a Vampire.
Oh, great, a letter. Now, I hope I get it. Right. Dear Mr. Dracula, thank you for applying for the job of a vampire.
I'm sorry to inform you that on this occasion your application was unsuccessful. Although you acquitted yourself with alacrity, we felt it necessary to give the job to a vampire with more experience of being a vampire. We wish you well for the future and hope you find another position as a vampire soon. We will keep your details on file.
Yours sincerely, P.P. Mrs. A. Frankenstein. Shit. We have a bad impression on the line, and it's Simon from Cardiff. Hello, Simon.
Hello.
Who do you do?
I do Peter Bainan.
Oh, go on then.
Go on then.
Hello, I'm Peter.
That's brilliant.
It hasn't got the unpleasant stink that comes with it. Thanks, Simon. Jeez, mate.
Very much. And we have... now it's time for our Chew review, very popular strand of the show. What we want you to do, by the way, we've always rushed this a bit, is send in a card with your favourite Chew and your least favourite Chew on it. And at the end of the series, we'll find out who's won and we'll ring up that Chew manufacturer.
Yeah, and the address for that is room 111, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A1AA.
And to help you decide, we have TV's Annabelle Giles, who you may have seen this morning with Richard and Judy, so that is a true star. And we've got some chews you want to taste for us, haven't you?
The first one's a chocolate.
This is by Duncan's.
Yes, which is a white chocolate flavour blah with strawberry space dust. I selected it as a good one for radio,
right,
of course.
Okay.
Can you hear this on my tongue? No.
Yeah, it's not strictly a chew, because it's made of chocolate.
It's just a chocolate bar with pink bits.
It's the only one by Duncan's we could find, and they're from Scotland, I believe, so that's quite nice.
And my verdict is that it's absolutely disgusting.
Right, so spit it out so you don't get your palate in there. The next one. Could we try the Cadbury Chomp, which is so far streaking ahead in the
vote. I don't think it looks like a chew. I think it looks more like a chocolate bar.
Well, give it a try, Annabelle, with your TV mouth. What's that like?
It tastes like a chocolate bar. With a lot of chocolate and something sort of fudgy in the middle. It's like a squashed finger of fudge, which is
that's
just
no
enough
cheap
to give the kids a treat, as you know.
Perhaps that's what it is, but that's winning so far with 3 votes. So that gives you an idea of how easily...
Spit it out,
please. And could you try McCowan's... That was the sound of Annabelle Giles from Hit the Road.
Spitting into a BBC paper.
You don't do that on Ned Sheeran Show, do you?
No, we really don't. Now, this one's...
McCowan's Wham.
A Wham, yes, it's pink
has
with
one
bits
vote
in it. Should be recalled a Mr. Blobby Bar.
Oh, very good. What's that like? Well, it's very amusing for us here in the studio.
That amusing. Innuendo's way out of fashion, I gather, I would say.
Is it fizzy?
No, it's pink and very chewy.
It's very sharp on the tongue. But that's got one vote, so you could try and get that one. What about the Matlow Stinger?
Oh,
that's my favourite.
I'm going to get it out of my teeth.
Spit it out. Come on, spit it in my hand.
Into Pete's hand. You'll be using that later. Now, this one's green. Looks like you've sort of rubbed it along the bottom of your foot, have
this you? This has got a surprise in it. It's a sting in the tail.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
I'm still... Because you like the last one.
Tastes like the last one, that's probably didn't have a glass of water in between.
I think I've lost a filling, I think.
Oh, sorry.
This is Annabelle Giles from the television here, tasting chews to help you decide. What do you think of Stinger?
I quite like that, actually.
It is my favourite.
It's huge nice as well, good value for money, I suppose.
What about the Barrett Captain Scarlet bar?
It's just
spit that
out. Oh, God.
And she has lost a tooth there.
Which one am I doing?
Barrett,
the
Captain
black
Scarlet.
One?
No, the
Captain Scarlet. Now, this looks like just toffee to me. And I'm here to tell you.
Why do you think it's been called a Captain Scarlet?
Yeah. I think to attract the attention of young children.
Right.
That would be it. I wonder.
Do you
think
or
that
not? Yeah. It's not funny, but it's probably true.
Probably.
That's toffee, actually.
And the McCowan's Lick.
The lick bar.
Now, the lick bar
can I just say before, the other day I was in my newsagent and I saw a sort of 28-year-old man buying a lick bar and I laughed at him. And then I thought, well, I've just bought a load of these for this programme. So, but anyway, what's the lick bar?
What's the lick bar? You're making the mistake of chewing the lick bar there.
Oh, Jesus.
So, when you're working on television, what chew do you favour?
It's all stuck together.
When you're working on Richard and Judy,
I was always a huge fan of the Curly Whirly, but I sort of dropped out of the chew bar market after that, along with Terry Scott, I think. This is now stuck to my hand, look.
Oh, yeah, does Richard Madeley like a lick?
Always got a few chews in his back pocket.
Well, anyway, didn't have time to talk about John Leslie and what a git he is, thank you very much.
That's the most interesting thing about me already.
Thank you very much, Annabelle Giles, who is now being sick.
Tony Christie from the album I'm Called Tony Christie. This is I Did What I Did for Maria.
Listen to the words, they tell a tale of woe.
Sunrise, this is the last day that I'll ever see. Out in the courtyard, they're ready for me. But I go to my Lord with no fear, 'cause I did what I did for Maria.
Tony Christie is the same Tony as the Tony from the Frosties advert.
No, he isn't, Rich. What you've done there is you've confused an animated advertising character with a singer from the 60s who did sort of M.O.R. ballads.
Oh, yes, I have. They're both called Tony. That's very confusing. Yeah. Change their name, surely.
As I rode into town with the sun going down, all the windows were barred, there was no one around. For they knew that I'd come with my hand on my gun and revenge in my heart for Maria, my dearest departed Maria. Take an eye for an eye and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria.
Lee and Herring, quite good on 1FM.
Laughter echoed across from the end of the street. There was the man I was burning to meet, and my mind was so calm and so clear as I took my revenge for Maria. And he fell to the ground, raising dust all around, but I knew he was dead long before he went down. It was quick, it was clean, made it easy on him, which is more than he did for Maria. When he did what he did to Maria, take an eye for an eye and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria.
What do you think he did to Maria, that bloke, anyway, Rich?
I think he probably just called her a sort of nasty name. Because the thing with Tony Christie, he's got a very short fuse.
He is, he's a hothead, isn't he? He's like a sort of avenging Old Testament god.
He is, if he just sees a bloke talking to Maria, he gets really angry about it. It's awful.
Sunrise, this is the last day that
This is the last day that I'll ever see. Out in the courtyard, they're ready for me. But I go to my Lord with no fear, 'cause I did what I did for Maria. Take an eye for an eye, and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria. Take an eye for an eye, and a life for a life, and somebody must die.
Well, what a wonderful thing that was to have Annabelle Giles eating cheese. What was your favourite one, Annabelle?
Well, I like the Stinger best, actually.
Great, that's two votes for the Stinger then. Oh. Great. And what was the worst in there?
The worst is the one that I'm still trying to get rid of now, which is the lick bar. That's because it, when you you know, it makes your tongue all black when you throw your head back and laugh. Like, it's unattractive.
It's just licorice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not very nice.
Sounds I've got another bad impression on the line. It's Zoe, who describes herself as being from the Midlands. Hello, Zoe.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
What's your impression?
Sorry?
What's your impression?
Cody off Neighbours.
Go on then.
Go on then.
Okay. No, Michael, you've got to go and play basketball.
We're getting some very good impressions.
Is it good or bad?
That was very good, so that's bad.
Do you want to
do
it again?
No, not that good. Bye.
Bye.
Right, Pete, whatever imaginary jobs have you got for us, mate?
I can do a Jurassic Park monster
impression. Go on then.
Ah!
That is good, that is good. Or Attenborough's impression of a Scottish person was pretty bad in that film as well. So go on then, Pete. Imaginary jobs, hurry up.
Okay, then, yeah. Number one is, another one is, imagine you're a policeman. You do this by walking down the street slowly with your brother Charlie, both with your hands, like, clasped behind your back, like the man and the lady at the beginning of the bill. And at the same time, you sort of look around, approving of all the people doing legal things, like humming or being in Woolworths and things like that. If you do see somebody doing an illegal thing, like pointing a gun in someone's face and laughing madly, it's probably best to imagine, like in the bill, none of this is happening, and go home and sort of stop doing the slow walk as well.
Don't get in trouble.
Yeah. The second one is give yourself a job checking things. For example, I often go to Bobby's mini market on Bedford Hill in Balham and check if the frightening man's in there who wears a really tight jacket and sort of shouts out the price in old money of the stuff he's just bought, or the lady who pushes a dog round in a pram and screams. Number three is, why not try being a vet? To do this, just take a cat from the street and look down his throat and put him up to one of your ears to see if his heart's beating. Then take him back outdoors and say, well, you seem to be fine. Come back and see me in 6 months, and then you let him go.
That's great, please. Really
thank
good.
You.
Any more?
Just a couple more.
All right,
just one. Is instead of thinking up a specific job, why not just decide that today is your day off and you're going to treat yourself by lying on your side in bed all day looking at the empty record sleeve that you found in a hedge?
Thanks, Pete. That was great. I've just heard, Stu, there's a fourth film in the trilogy of Interview with a Vampire. So successful. And this one is going to be called DSS Interview with a Vampire.
Yes. Now, Mr. Dracula, I see here on your B16 form that you've stated that you're only available for work as a vampire.
That's right. I've been over this before. Vampirism, that's all I'm interested in. Nothing else.
Well, I'm sorry, but you really are going to have to expand your employment horizons
Or what, mate?
Or, Mr. Dracula, we will have to terminate your unemployment benefit. It's quite simple.
Look, I want to be a vampire, right? Vampirism.
Well,
that's it.
I'm sure you do, but I used to want to be a pop singer, didn't I, before I did this? Heavens, if everybody on the unemployment register only took the kind of jobs...
Well, I don't care about everyone else, right? I want to be a vampire, and that's it. I'm going. If you don't give me that, I'm going.
I'm sorry, but I will have...
I will get you.
With your plastic fangs?
Yes.
Right, cut his benefit.
Right, and now it's time for our listings. This week by Ronnie Ancona and Kevin Smeldon together.
It's Eldon.
Smeldon's funny there.
Okay, here we go. Would you like a hand shandy? Leicester student Mike Scott has invented a slightly alcoholic fizzy drink made out of a mixture of lemonade and the fermented severed hands of humans and monkeys. Now, Mike collects the hands from corpses in morgues, from accidents on the road and with industrial slicing machines, and from the zoo, and then mixes them together in a vat at his house. He says it tastes like a cross between 7-Up and Panda Limeade with a hint of chicken. His hand shandies are readily for sale on most Leicester Street corners, so if you want a hand shandy, then go and see Mike Scott, and he'll give you one from £2.
There's a Foxton watch in Bristol on Tuesday. For a small fee, you can hide in a specially constructed shelter and watch a family of urban Bruce Foxtons going about their nightly work, forging for record contracts, copying bass riffs from old Beatles songs, and hiding from the hunters who chase them for their prized freakish hair. The fun starts at 9.
And do you have an ignorant hatred of Christ and all his teachings? Are you delighted by the taste of exotic fruits like kumquat and the durian apple? Then why not get along to the Christ-hating fruit tasters evening in and Gosport Town Hall tomorrow night. Exotic fruits will be served from a silver dish by local orphans, while the teachings of Christ are denounced, and needlessly offensive limericks spew forth from the Christ haters' fruit-stained lips. This fruit-based atrocity begins at 6 p.m. sharp.
An Italian eczema sufferer of over 6'7" who eschews the eczema easing elatum emollient, then come along to the Giant Italian Alternative Eczema Treatment Society. Giant Italian people with itchy skin attempt to overcome their affliction with new balms and preparations. These might include coarse sandpaper, domestic cleaning fluids, or the urine of small children. That's all in Shrewsbury in the Italian Quarter on Wednesday.
And if you missed any of those details, why not check your local listing magazines?
Star Signs. If you were born at 126 Albert Drive, Shearwater, on the 1st of September 1955, you are a Bruce Foxton. Bruce Foxton's fathers are painters and decorators. Their mothers are housewives who do part-time work at bakeries and the like. You will have two brothers, Ray and Derek, who are involved in the print business. Your unusual hair will force you to live a life of taunts and mocking. Although in 1983 you will confound your detractors by turning your disfigurement to your advantage by reaching number 22 in the hit parade with your song, Freak.
Pete, have you got some more imaginary jobs for us to do?
Yes, a couple of things. When you go to sign on, why not try imagining that the Dole office is some sort of strange company where everyone's job is to stand in a line once a fortnight in an old coat, sort of looking at the floor and smoking.
Yeah.
And that's everything. Just to say, remember, having an imaginary job isn't all imaginary work. For a Christmas, you could try having an office Christmas party by getting your brother Charlie to come round and you both get drunk and be sick in the bin. And then you sort of sit by the window and wait for a lady to walk past and pretend she's the secretary and you've just kissed her.
Right. Mm, right. Remember to keep your letters coming in to us at room 111, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A, 1AA. Bad tourist attractions. 2 votes, please. Get those 2 votes in. Anything else you think might interest us?
And I think we've got our final bad impression on the line. It's Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hello there.
Go on, then.
Who do you do?
I do Garth off Wayne's World.
Oh, go on. Quickly.
It's like people only do things for money, and that's really sad.
That is
quite good
as well. The second half have missed the point. It's got to be bad. That was
good.
Yeah. So you have lost. I think the winner of that will be...
Cody.
Cody, all right. It was quite good.
Yeah.
But what have we got coming up next?
Coming up the end
musical
is...
Musical Treat.
Yeah. It's Musical Treat. This is the Flying Pickets, right? You may remember them. They've done a cover of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit. Now, as comedians, me and Rich spend a lot of time trying to come up with funny things on the edge of acceptable taste, but the Flying Pickets have achieved a hilarious, tasteless and offensive thing here, entirely by accident, through their own stupidity.
Listen to it, this lovely version of this.
Listen to when they do the guitar bit now.
Gadang, gadang there.
It's like kids in their bedroom messing around. Gadang, gadang.
I think it captures the excitement of the Nirvana one, don't you?
No.
No, you're right, it doesn't really very well. Ooh! Who's that there? More you, I can't tell. Haunting, isn't it?
Yes.
I think that's the bald bloke singing, who wears eyeliner. Or the one with the stupid bugger grips.
I like the hello bit, because in the Nirvana song, when he's going hello, it's really frightening, whereas this just sounds like a load of blokes going, hello, hello,
hello,
hello,
hello,
come in.
Hello,
how are you, hello. Jang, jang, jang.
This Flying Pickets doing this Nirvana song. It's a little known fact that Kurt Cobain used to whiz around the country with other union officials in an old Cortina, offering support to fellow workers with industrial grievances.
Hey, that's ironic.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll stop and we can hear the real one.
Yeah. It is absolutely horrible, this. And I don't like Brian Hibbard because he shouted at me in Edinburgh when I was trying to do my auction for my show. Can we get the actual Nirvana one on? Because this is gadang, gadang.
Yeah. It's better.
Ronnie likes the Flying Pickets one, apparently. She's wrong about that, of course. Still sounds a bit like Blake just saying hello.
We've spoilt it now. I'm just about to get into it, though, if you listen to it for... Can I just, I'll just mention the Flying Pickets press release, which I've been saying.
What do they say?
Well, they say that Smells Like Teen Spirit speaks as an anthem for doomed youth.
Yeah.
And the Flying Pickets, in spite of being from an earlier generation, are resisting all attempts by authority to marginalise people, be it by lifestyle, sexual preference or drug use. So if you are out there and you are attempting to marginalise people, you better look out for the Flying Pickets, because they're going to come and get you with their sideburns.
He marginalised me in Edinburgh, didn't he?
He shouted at you.
He did. Offered to fight me. Oh, that's better. Look at that. That's better than gadang, gadang, isn't it? Gadang, gadang, gadang. Shall I tell you who was in this week's show, Stu?
Not on them.
It was you, Stuart Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Me, Richard Herring. Peter. Kevin Smeldon.
Smeldon!
Sorry, I forgot. Ronnie Ancona. Her lover, Alistair McGowan, was on tape. And we also had Rebecca Front on that badminton tape. That was just pretend. Tricked you. But our star celebrity guest was Annabelle Giles. Thanks for coming in, Annabelle. Did you enjoy it? What was best, this or Richard and Judy? And she's got her mouth stuck together. And it's not with Jews.
No,
and our
Jews.
Producer was Chris Neal. Sorry, Annabelle, I will be spanked for that later. So I understand. So what's our address again, Stu, for people coming?
Well, send us some stuff if you want to Lee and Herring, room 111, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A.
I was disappointed we didn't get a Frank Spencer impression. Betty, I've done a whoopsie. When most people who do that impression are the people who they're doing it to weren't even born the last time Frank Spencer was officially on for the first time. And Tommy Cooper, can you do Tommy Cooper as Kevin?
Go on.
I can't. It eludes me, that.
Tommy. Wait, just like that?
Just like that.
Not like that. Like that. Like that. So that's like the dog from Esther Ransom feet. That's not very good. So try and smash all impressionists whenever you see them. Chat out. You're just copying other people's acts. Just because you can do their voice doesn't make you big or clever. That includes Ronnie Ancona and Alistair McGowan as well in our show. But they do good impressions. That's the difference. Just like Alistair does David Baddiel. Hello, I'm David Baddiel. The Mary Whitehouse Experience. It's coming to an end, this song now. That's the Flying Pickets there.
So no need to buy that record now.
That was pretty appalling. So, oh, God. I'm stricken with ennui this week, Stu.
Mm.
Are you?
Up to a point.
Yeah. Are you, Pete?
I can do Mark Radcliffe.
Can you? Well, I can do Mark
Radcliffe. Mark Radcliffe. Hello.
Hello, I'm Mark Radcliffe. Yes, that's quite good. So, room 111, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A. 1AA.
Rich, what's that sound? If you made a smell?
No, it must have been Mark Radcliffe. It's his show now, thank God.
That's some desperate filling with crap impressions there, I thought.
Is anybody out there?
And now, live from Manchester...
Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.bestoffan.net.